you feel like you're in your marriage and your marriage is good and your husband is all you need, you might be missing something and not even realizing it.
Hey, everyone. Oh, I'm so excited. Welcome to A Wife Like Me. We are here with Johanna Smith, and this is going to be such a good conversation all about friendships and in marriage and outside of marriage. And so we're really going to be talking a lot about friendships outside of marriage, what that looks like, how can they be healthy, how can we find good friends, all the things. So welcome. It's so good to see you.
Yay. Thank you, Amanda. I am so glad to be here and talking with you again. I love it.
I know. Tell us a little bit about yourself so that women can get to know you a bit.
Yeah, like you said, my name is Johanna Smith. I live in Central Ohio with my husband, Joe, and we are coming up on 19 years of marriage this summer. And we have two girls. They are 15 and 12. And we also have one pretty bad dog in our family. By day, I am a systems analyst for a university here in Ohio. And then nights, weekends, any spare time I have, I am devoting that to my ministry, which is Girls Talking Life. Right now, the main piece of it is a podcast, also by that same name, where I encourage women to be in relationships with other women. Faith, life, and friendships is what we talk about. And that is girl time for your earbuds when you can't be with the women in your actual life. But I always want to encourage women to be out there and be having those real friendships.
And that's really what we're talking about. And we've chatted before. So this is so fun because we've kind of gotten to know each other. And so this is amazing. And it's so good to be on this side of it. So I can like pick your brain, because I think friendships can be really hard and we tend to not really talk about them. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about it. So, how about like, I want to hear first, like, because this is another thing. I hear a lot of questions about friendships just with other women, right? Like, how can we have healthy ones? I'm having a hard time finding good friends. But then I also get questions about with our husbands, like, how can I foster friendship with my husband? We're so different. We have completely different interests. How can we, and maybe many women too, we've probably all experienced it where we're just like in a season of lull and it's just like not exciting. And we just feel like, what does friendship look like within a marriage? What can it look like if we're fostering that in a marriage?
I think you're so right, Amanda. There are so many day-to-day tasks and responsibilities. I know I find myself just looking to my husband to be like, hey, can you pick up the kids? I got the mail. Can you pay the bills? You know, this is what's on our schedule coming up next week. And they become someone who isn't a person that we have fun with. And I think we need to remember that friendship with our husband just solidifies our bond in marriage. And we want to work to have fun together, to do things that are outside of those day-to-day regular things that we do. And one of the things my husband and I do are just try to get out of the house for a daily walk. And getting out of our regular space where we're looking at laundry or dishes or, you know, he needs to mow the lawn, and just getting out of that space and being able to focus on each other and hopefully have some lighthearted, fun conversations together is something that we like to do. Another way to foster those is through shared experience. And I would like for this always to be happy, but sometimes the shared experience that we go through are difficult. My husband and I walked through his father having a heart attack several years ago. And that shared experience, I feel like, really solidified our friendship bond together. Mm-hmm. We are planning a trip to New York City for our family this summer, and that's an adventure that we get to go on together. And that is just another way to have a shared experience where, you know, it's he and I together. You know, we'll have our daughters with us, but we'll be experiencing the city completely new together. And I feel like that is going to solidify our friendship. And we hope to have fun on that trip. And that will just be like more strength for our marriage.
You mentioned you're an Enneagram 9 before I hit record. And that's funny, as I'm hearing you talk, I was thinking, how does Chad, my husband, and I, how do we build friendship and foster friendship in our marriage? And you're giving these examples, and in my head, I'm literally having fun together. And one of the ways we do that is through dinners, like with other couples. Last night we had dinner with a couple, and it brings such laughter. And it brings out a different side, I think, of my husband and myself when we're with people that doesn't really come out when we're just together. I don't know if you've experienced that, but it's so true for us. Like, he's so much more goofy and he kind of ad-libs and feeds into my friends, or you know what I mean? And I just don't see that when it's us. And that came to mind too. It's like, and I love that you said getting out for a walk. We don't have to really go places necessarily, but I do love getting out of the norm. I want to add too, I think I hear, and I've experienced seasons where my husband and I just have little communication about, like you were saying, the things that really, the details matter, right? Who's going to get the kids? There's an appointment, blah, blah, blah. Like, hey, we need more toilet paper. All the things. Can you stop at so-and-so or whatever? But then the communication that really builds connection isn't always there, because there's so many details. And I feel like the more kids you have, the more details there are, right? And especially if you're both working outside the home and all the, it's like, so whatever. So we've talked about this, but it hasn't come out in a long time. So I want to remind any listeners, if this is helpful to, or viewers, that couch time is so important. We learned this years ago, that no matter what's going on, the kids, and we started this when our youngest, I think, was 6 months old. And so, she had to be in our lap for a long time as we started. But literally when both of us get home at the same time, or if we're finally in the home after our day, we literally just take even 5 minutes and just find a place. Like, that's your go-to place. You just sit there and you just, how are you doing? How was your day? Anything going on with you, vice versa, just touching base with each other. And truly, it's what it's saying. And I'm thinking, as friends, you're telling the other person, I care about you. I see you. How are you? I want to hear from you. And so even if it's 5 minutes and the babies, are crawling around by you or whatever that looks like, or they're in your lap or whatever, if at all possible, be like, just a second, mom and dad are talking. We'll help you and just give us a minute, please. They'll get used to it. And pretty soon when they see you sitting there, they'll know oh, they're talking. I'm not even going to go ask, but that's been huge too, to foster friendship. I think it was so hard for us in those seasons of littles, that was a huge win. And it helped us we're together in the crazy of life right now. And that felt like friendship, even just that small little time frame,
Yep. We do couch time too.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the end of the day, we'll sit down, and before we turn the TV on, we just try to take a few minutes.
Yeah. It's crazy how with our phones these days, that such a little amount of time of doing that, of being together and just chatting and being face to face, it's crazy how little time that we actually... I'm not saying only take 2 minutes or something. I'm not promoting a short period of time. I'm just saying even a short period of time fills us so much.
Yeah.
So don't discount just getting something going. So good. What about friendships then outside of marriage? Why do we need friendships outside of marriage? And I know I asked that and you're probably like, well, duh, Amanda, what a dumb question. Just hang with me, because I think we forget. And what's happening in my brain right now is that for friendships, it's really easy for us to, especially after COVID, I was listening to a podcast about the overwhelm of that season, and that we think we're fine and we probably maybe overall feel fine. However, what that season did in a lot of us is it created a less, an even smaller margin for us to have energy and capacity for the things that we used to do. So pre-COVID, maybe we felt like it was really easy for us to just be a part of a small group or whatever, or go to have dinner with a friend and catch up or something. Whereas now that just seems like a lot for us. Not everyone, but that is it's showing, I guess, in research that that's a very common, it's like overwhelm that I used to want to do that, but now I just don't have the capacity for it. And so let's talk about why, you know, this is so important in outside of marriage to have friendships.
You're absolutely right. What you're saying, it is, we have to work our way back to where we were. It's like exercise. You know, you're not going to run 4 miles the first time you go out. So you definitely want to start little by little if that's how you're feeling, like your capacity just isn't there. But it is so important for us to have friendships outside of our marriage because we were designed that way. God specifically put people in our lives to grow us, to encourage us, to give us wise counsel. And if you go out, or if you can remember going out with friends and being filled up and encouraged and all those things I just said, and coming home and being like, wow, I feel refreshed. I feel appreciated and just revived. So now I can come back to my marriage, my husband, my family, and I have more to give because I've been filled up. And secondly, I feel like we need the wise counsel of our friends. We can, Titus 2 tells us, the older women to teach the younger women how to love their husbands. And so I think that just being around other women who are married in good relationships, just hearing, sometimes it's the day-to-day, like, how do you get this done? And sometimes it's the deeper, harder questions, like, we are having this issue in our marriage. Have you experienced this? Like, show me how you've walked through it. And sometimes we have, like I said, like deeper questions, and we want to go to our friends, hopefully our friends who will give us wise counsel are a little bit farther along in the journey than us. And we can say, hey, I'm experiencing this. Have you experienced that? I have a group of women that I meet with on a regular basis, and 3 out of the 5 of us have Enneagram 5 husbands. And so I had this question. I'm like, are you ladies dealing with this? Like, do you have the same interaction with your husband who is a 5? And they were able to really speak into the situation because they understood it. And what I would advise against is, this does not turn into a complaint fest. We are not getting together to complain and, you know, talk badly about our husbands, because I feel like that it can turn into that quickly, depending on who you're around and kind of what the topic is. So really be on guard for that.
Yeah, I found that there's a big difference between, and you know, I didn't become a Christian until I was 29. So I can easily, and even still today, there are groups of friends or different gals who, you know, you have a friendship with, but it's maybe, if you're listening or watching, you feel like, my friendships don't sound like what you just described, Johanna. Like, my friendships are like, I love my girls, right? I love my friends, but it's not like maybe rooted in Jesus. And so therefore, like, because of that, even though it's a great friendship, it lacks like a deep, rich, like, biblical community sense, where we're not praying together. We're not praying for each other. We're not holding each other accountable. It's a huge one, right? And that's what I was going to say, is I can easily see like the groups of friends over my years where, you know, that just wasn't happening, where I think that's the key. And the best friendships I have are the ones where we're like, I don't know, I love you, like, I don't know if you're thinking about this, or the way that, okay, that interaction with her or your mom or your husband or whatever, I think we need to talk about that. Like, we need to talk about that. You know, just like calling out the ways that we aren't surrendered fully, like, there's no fruit there. Like, that, you know, that doesn't smell like Jesus, really. You know, those are like the friendships that really like build our faith. And, you know, there is a difference. I don't know if you want to share any thoughts on that, but.
Well, part of my story is being so surrounded by community in high school, college, grad school, and then getting married and feeling lonely. And I didn't know what was going on at the time. I just knew I felt like I was missing something. And so God intervened in that. And a few years after we had gotten married, we actually moved to be part of a church that our friends had planted. And in that season is when I experienced biblical community like I never had before. And that is where I learned to be a good friend, to go deeper and to have those conversations and extend hospitality and all of the things. So I would say if you are not experiencing those kind of friendships, they are out there. And it is important to know the difference. You don't want to open up and share details with everyone. There are different levels of friendships for sure. But if you don't have that kind of friendship in your life that you can tap into, you'll want to look for it. You'll want to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to find some of those people. And you'll definitely want to pray for God to put them in your path.
Yeah, that's so good. And you know, I want to encourage you to, if you aren't already part of a local church, keep trying to find one. Keep trying. There are so many women who want what you want. And many of them are sitting right down the row from you. Yes. They're, you know, in the front, right inside the front door, grabbing a coffee. They're in the parking lot. They're, you know, they are feeling the same way you are, but they don't know and you don't know. So just pray and ask Holy Spirit to give you the courage to strike up a conversation and see where it goes. And I know a lot of women, I'm a 7 again on the Enneagram. I love being around people. I'm like, can we have all the people have breakfast every day together? Like, you know, I just like, that sounds amazing. And we can all be friends and it'll be so great. But I know that that's not how everyone is wired. And so like, even if it's one person, ask them for coffee or even just like, do you want to text with me and just like, share prayer requests at all? Like that, you know, just a simple question like that could start something. And it might just be like one-on-one, one at a time. Maybe you find even two strong women to be friends with that just completely bless you. Or reach out to someone and just offer, I'd love to pray for you. Like, do you want to exchange numbers? And just like, if you have anything, I can be just be looking out for them and just even just initiate that. If it's too much to be like, I don't really know that I want you to be praying for me. So, but I can pray for you, you know, to start. That might feel most comfortable too, but it's possible. And it just also just takes a lot of work, right?
It does.
I'd love to hear, I guess we already talked about some benefits of having outside friendships outside of marriage. Were there any more that you wanted to hit on? Like, I know we just talked about accountability, coming home refreshed, you know, and just seeing it just adds fruit to our marriage to be able to like, oh yeah, so she deals with that too, or whatever, you know. Any other benefits that you wanted to mention?
Well, I talked about status too, the older women encouraging the younger women to love their husbands, but there's also the reverse of that. I feel like we can be energized if we're more mature in our relationships by younger women who are so excited by their new love. So I don't think you should discount that. It's a two-way street for sure.
Yeah.
And then you had mentioned going out with friends. So I think couple friends are really great because you're getting your girl time. He's getting his guy time. And you see them. It's just like what you said. You see them in a different light. They are outside of your bubble that you normally interact with them in. And we went out with a couple not too long ago. And my husband is telling jokes. And he is telling a story from work that I hadn't heard before. And it revives something. You get to see them kind of like, you know, pre-married, maybe even dating, when you just see them in a social situation. And it is just refreshing and reviving to that attraction, I feel like.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. That, and again, keep trying, right? Like you might go have dinner with a couple or something and you're like, well, I don't know if they're for us. I don't know. And that's okay. Ask another one, you know, keep looking, keep trying, because it does add so much. Yeah.
Everyone has to eat.
Yep. Right. Might as well do it together. Okay. I want to hear from you, and I can share too, but friendships that are hard. How have you experienced, and you don't have to give details if you don't want, you can say whatever you want, or you don't have to share, that's fine. But I think one of the often unspoken things within Christian women is that we don't really talk about the times when we actually, like, when it's best, when it's most healthy and loving to take a step back from a friend in a certain way. Maybe we're not as deeply connected with them, or maybe they feel that with us for whatever reason. Like, how have you navigated those times? I don't know if there's something that triggers to share, but you know, like when it's hard, when a friend, because it happens. But what's funny is you said, I'm an Enneagram 9. And so that question alone can maybe cause anxiety in you. You're like, what? I would never, you know, I could never like put up a boundary. That would maybe upset them. Enneagram 9 is a peacemaker, just for everyone listening. Yeah. But so that question might be like difficult for you to even like consider. I don't know. Go wherever you want with that.
So yes, I try to avoid conflict pretty much at all costs. And I haven't had a ton of experience with what I would call difficult friendships. Certainly times when I've taken a step back. But what comes to mind is a friend of mine who changed seasons. She went back to school. She got a job. And her time commitment, her capacity just changed. And I would reach out to her. I would invite her to do things, and she would not reciprocate. And I had to come to a point where I was like, okay, I don't think this is personal, but I feel like our friendship just isn't what it used to be. And I'm going to take a step back now because I'm getting my feelings hurt kind of consistently. And that's not good for me.
And did you verbalize that, communicate that with her?
I did a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's important because I think that it's wise to know, if you look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, and also Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, we see the invitation and instruction that Jesus gives his disciples when they're going into new places to share the truth of Jesus. And he specifically shares with them, like, if they take what you give them and, you know, trample it up and spit it back at, you know, I'm not quoting this verbatim, but essentially if they take what you give them and disrespect that, devalue it, rip you to shreds because of it or whatever, if they disrespect, dishonor you in any way, Jesus doesn't say, give all you got till you run dry and just keep on giving. He actually says, wipe the dust off your feet and leave that town or village. And essentially keep trying. Not saying, you know, be rude to them, be unloving to them, but he's saying, it's okay. It's okay. Like, not everyone will receive and be kind and gracious and be what you need that friendship to be. And so I find that interesting that it's just not always, you know, the verbalizing of what it is that we need might not be even a safe thing to share with a friend. Like, oh, I'm trying to think of a friend that's unhealthy. Like, if you have a friendship with someone who is unhealthy, it might not be wise. It might not be fruitful to share that boundary with them. I have a close relationship in my life that is very unhealthy, and it would only make it worse if I shared our family's boundaries. And so it's just not best to do that. And they've never asked about them. It just is what it is. And so for them, thankfully. And but if they did, I would have to be pretty general because it just wouldn't be safe or healthy for me to be super specific. Like, because of your unhealthy behavior, we can't let our kids stay with you. You know, it wouldn't be helpful. It wouldn't be helpful to our relationship to share. So it's a boundary sometimes that you have. And that you know of, maybe it's not that, maybe you can text, but it's not safe to get together one-on-one. You know, maybe it's safe to get together in groups, but never text. I mean, you don't know, you know, like what has this looked like? What is it looking like? And Lord, how will this look healthy for me? How can I love this person best? And sometimes it is taking a step back and whatever the Lord is telling you to do, you know? So I love that. Yeah.
And I still see her occasionally. I pray for her, for her family. Still love her. It just looks different. I have another.
Go ahead. I was going to say the reality is it's hard. And I think we don't say it's just hard. They'll see when those things change, and it's been a good friendship, and maybe for no known reason. I think that can be so hard too. It's like something's different. And I've asked her, she hasn't shared anything with me, but I know something's different, and you know, it's just hard. It's painful, and that is a real thing, you know. But yeah, what were you going to say? Right.
I have another friend who consistently did something that was, you know, once or twice would have been fine, but the consistency of it was too much. And so I did go to her and I did confront the situation, which made me sweat, Amanda. But, you know, we're supposed to model our lives after Jesus, and he comes in grace and truth. Yeah. And so I wanted to be truthful with her, and I was hopefully very gracious with her too. But I did let her know, like, this is impacting our friendship. And she knew it was a problem. I wasn't the only person that this was happening with. And she apologized and, you know, was trying to do better. So
mm-hmm. And that's
there are
like,
times
yeah.
when we have to speak up.
Absolutely. And like, that's, again, that goes back to like the biblical friendship. Like that's community. That's biblical community. We have to be willing to be honest. And then sometimes we learn, oh, it's not safe to be honest with them even, or, you know, they, whatever might come from it. But if we don't try, like, that is biblical friendship. It is biblical to say to someone else, hey, this was hurtful, or this is hurtful when you XYZ, and I'm not sure you're seeing it. I just wanted to let you know, you know, I love you, and this is hard for me, or it feels hurtful, or whatever. And yeah, the ideal outcome is that they're like, oh my land, I'm so sorry. I thank you for telling me that. I had no idea I was making you feel that way. Again, those are the best kind of friends to have. It's like, I can trust that if you're upset with me, you're going to tell me why.
Yeah.
And because I want to know, I value our friendship. I value your heart. And if I've done anything to wrong you, or if there's something else that I need to see, I want to know you're going to tell me the hard thing. You know, I don't want to just like, oh, everything is so great. Actually, no, I need help. And I want my friends to give me that help. You know, yep, I have a counselor, and I also need friends to whip me into shape, you know.
Yeah, and those are going to be those special, deep relationships that are modeled after biblical community, where we give people the permission to speak into our lives that way. That's not for every person.
Yeah. Yeah. How about, have you had a friendship end that you can think of?
I have. My probably best friend in college, when she moved away, you know, I kept in touch with lots of other friends, but that friendship, for some reason, did not last. And probably as an Enneagram 9, maybe as anyone, that just really, really hurt to have that end.
Yeah. Did you reach out and ask why, or did you just leave it?
No, I reached out and tried to reconnect several times, but it never went anywhere. So I haven't made any more moves.
I think that's like one of the hardest lessons. And I know we have teenagers, and it's a good, hard lesson to learn that you can't make people like you. You know, you can't make people want to spend time with you. You can't make people choose you. You just can't. And it's so painful. You know,
the pain of rejection is real and valid. And, you know, I don't have an explanation for why that friendship ended, but God has put so many other wonderful women in my path that I'm able to move on and have my need for belonging met.
Yeah. I'm just going to be real. I think during the, we referenced COVID and that popped into my head when talking, you know, I was thinking, have I lost friendships? Yes, I have. And I think that for me, the season of being honest was hard. I was going to say damaging. Because, you know, based on, and I'm guessing if you're listening, watching, you're like, yep, me too, that dependent on, man, you pick the topic, depending on where you land on XYZ, I think many of us experienced the death of certain friendships over topics that we could never even imagine possibly would be the case, right? I mean, even just, you know, in our changing world, being solid on God's views on marriage and how he creates us. And I mean, just the most basic things, I think I never expected to lose a friendship over what I thought was a common denominator for us. And then, you know, finding out it's not. And me still wanting friendship, even though we see something different, I still love them. I still care for them. Nothing has changed, but yet for them, it has. And that I think has been really interesting, and not many for me, but a few. And we weren't even super close, but it's still, because of, you know, again, certain things, and you just feel shunned almost or rejected because that's okay. It's just still painful. It's still painful. Yeah. Yeah. Friendship is hard. Yeah. But it's good. It's so good. And it's worth the continued like pursuit of it.
Yes.
So thank you, Johanna. Anything else you want to share before we close out?
I would just say, if you feel like you're in your marriage and your marriage is good and your husband is all you need, you might be missing something and not even realizing it. Mm-hmm. I have an extended family member who feels that way. And I'm like, but just try it. You don't know what you're missing. You'll be filled up in this new, fresh way. And you'll be so glad that you stepped outside of your comfort zone to meet other women and to share your lives with them.
And our husbands cannot be all of our friends. Like our husband is our friend, absolutely, our best friend. And yet there are so many aspects of our lives as women that he will not and cannot, and he was not designed to understand, meet, you know, pour into those angles of who God created us to be. He won't be able to give us all of those beautiful, the richness that we get from outside women is so beautiful that, yeah, we are missing out if we're not pursuing that and finding that. So would you mind praying for the wives?
I would love to.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, thank you. You are so good to give us these relationships. The ones with our husbands where we can do the day to day, but we can also just rest in our friendship with him, where we can have fun and solidify our marriage bond. Lord, I ask that you bless our marriages. Lord, I ask that you bless our friendships. Thank you so much for the women that you have put in our path. I ask that if there is a woman, a wife out there listening who feels like she doesn't have some of the friendships that we've been talking about today, that you give her just a beautiful gift of friendship where she knows, like, oh, this person who just walked into my life, or this person who I am just seeing with fresh eyes, is a gift from you. I ask that in our marriages and in our friendships, Lord, that you will help us to glorify you, because that's what we're here for. And that is what we want to do as followers of Jesus. I pray all these things in his sweet, mighty, holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Johanna, thank you. Thank you. Can you tell us again, Girls Talking Life, the podcast? So go check that out. And your website, girlstalkinglife.com, is it?
That is right. Yeah.
Awesome. So go, head over there, check her out, check out her resources. And just thank you for spending time with us today, Johanna. It's so good and appreciate you. So thank you.
It was so good to see you and catch up and talk about this wonderful topic. Thank you.
Thanks everyone for being with us. We love you. And we'll be back next week for an all new episode. See you later.